Doing the Rambam Yer Teiman, we're up to page Kuf Tet Zayin in the Mosander of Kuk edition. And the Rambam had written that throughout our history, from the time the Torah was given, there hasn't been a monarch, a ruler, any type of person in a position of power who hasn't had some kind of intention to fight the Torah, to oppress those who observe the Torah. We've had our Amalek, Sisra, Sancheriv, Nebuchadnezzar, Titus, Adrianus, Ve'albeka Yitzeven, and many their like. Zehu Hanodah Ha'echad Mishnei Anoim Sheitkevnu Bo Lenatzeach HaChefetz Eloki. And the Rambam says that their actions have... One of two intentions. Either they want to overcome Hashem's will in the world. אבל אנו השנים המחודדים משאר מלכויות וחכמים יתר הלשונות, כמו אדומים והפרסים והיוונים. But the second manner, the second force that's at play, that's the other kingdoms, what he calls Edomim. Edomim, we're going to understand to mean the Christians, the Parsiim, the Persians, the Ivanim, the Greeks. Shelu kmo chen, that they too, samu chavanatam nistor datenu, their goal was to contradict our faith, ulafer toratenu, and to try and undo our Torah, bitanot shetoanim alea vekushiyot shemchabrim, with claims and questions that they compose against the Torah. Umgamatam bechol ze. But their goal in all of this is להפר התורה ולמחות תקוותיה בחיבוריהם. Their goal is to eradicate the Torah or any remembrance of the Torah. And that's what they're compiling their work, כמו שכוונו אנשים ממלחמותיהם. Just as the Crusaders had that intention. They were going to free Jerusalem, so why did they have to persecute the Jews? ולא זה יצלח ולא זה. The Rambam says, and even though throughout our history there has been repeated persecution with the intent to eradicate the name of Hashem or His people or His Torah from the world, none of them are going to succeed. Shehakadosh Baruch Hu biser otanu al yidei Yeshayahu. For we were already foretold by the prophet Isaiah, shekol anaso natzchan, that any type of oppressor, any type of victor, sheyitkaven listor toratenu ulvatel datenu bichle zayin, anyone who intends to annul our Torah, to annul our way of life, through use of force, through weapons, yeshaber apoe klei milchamto v'lo yatzlichu. Hashem promises He will break their weapons, they will not be successful. V'zal derech mashal, the prophet Isaiah says it as an allegory. Kelomar she'atzato lo tishlam le'olam. What does it mean Hashem will break their weapons? It means their plot, their plan will not succeed. U'chmochen kol toen she'itkaven levatel ma she'biyadenu. And the same is true, anyone who tries to annul what we have, our tradition, to annul it through claims, through philosophies, through the movements of the Persians, the Greeks, etc. Yetze mechuyav min adin b'ta'anato v'yivatel ota v'lo titkayim. Ultimately, he will be revealed that his claim is fallacious and his claim will not stand and will not exist. Kmo she'nemar, the verse says, kol kli yutzar alayich lo yitzlach. Any vessel that tries to encapsulize, to besiege you, will not be successful. Those are the nations that try by force to surround us, to bring us down. And any tongue that comes to attack you, you will turn them down. Hashem says, this is the portion, this is the lot that I promise those who are my servants. It's interesting. Today we see it in many different realms. We can look back a little over 2,000 years ago to the period of the Greek Empire and their decrees that forbade circumcision and their declaration that the Jewish circumcision was a mutilation of the human body. And there are many philosophical claims about the beauty of the human body and how we are mutilating it. And then science comes along and proves that it's actually very beneficial to be circumcised. And for 2,000 years, we didn't have these answers. We had a mitzvah. We said, we're sticking to our tradition. Then in the last few decades, there's been a tremendous realization of the medical benefits of being circumcised. And suddenly you have states across the United States that circumcise people. And the UN is funding missions to go down to Africa and circumcise people because it's so healthy. And you think the argument is finished. And then you open the newspaper and you read that in Europe, we're not done yet. No. There are still claims that it's
forbidden to circumcise the Jewish babies.
It's barbaric. Really? Wait a second.
It's contradiction. It's confusion.
But what boggles the mind is, where's the intellectual honesty? If it wasn't a Jewish thing, would they really oppose it? Again, the medical support today is there. Yeah. You could have looked at the Greeks and said they didn't know any better.
Yeah.
But how could the EU or Germany, how could the different countries justify their position? And with regard to animal slaughter, we could spend time discussing that too. The Rambam says, realize that throughout our history, nations have been trying to wipe us off the face of the earth. It's not a new thing. It's been there since we received the Torah. And at different times, the nations used different tactics. The Rambam, the great philosopher, the Rambam who was so open and encompassing in his breadth of knowledge, in his acceptance, in his approach to Torah, yet the Rambam says, realize where we live, realize what's happening in the world around us. Ushte'elu ha-kavanot, klomar ha-goyim ha-mitkavnim nishte'elu ha-kavanot al avadatam she-binyan ze eino noach le-ares. And these two plans, these two approaches to the destruction of the Jewish people, they both realize that it's not so simple to knock us down. And nonetheless, the two camps united, and they said, let's together try to take down this force, the Jewish people, even though we have such strong foundations. So they try even harder. But the Rambam says the building, that building which is called the Jewish people, is going to remain intact. It's going to stand strong. And the truth looks at them and mocks them. The truth looks at them and laughs at them. Klomar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shehu Emet. In other words, Hashem, who is truth, Yoshev U'Matel V'Sochek Behem. He looks at them and he laughs at them. Al Shem Mitkavdim B'Chalishut Tzichlam Kavana She'en LaTachlit. That in their lack of intellect, in their weak understanding, they're going to attempt something that has no chance of success. And about this concept, King David said with the prophetic vision, when he saw that their intention was to contradict the truth, and when he recognized that Hashem was laughing at them, he said about that the verse, one of the opening verses of Psalms, the nations say, the second chapter of Psalms is, Lama ragashu goyim ulumim yegurik. Why are the nations in an uproar? Why do they talk about us so much? Why are we the focal point of the UN? There's mass murder going on in so many countries in the world. But if a few kids write graffiti in Israel, that's a topic for the UN. Why? Lama ragashu goyim. King David already said, why are the nations all excited? Why? Because they say, Ninateka et mosaroteimo. We are trying to sever the yoke, the harness, the yoke and harness that are carrying our responsibility to be God-fearing people. And about that, David the Melech says, Yoshev Bashamayim Yishak, Hashem Yilag Lamo. He who sits in heaven laughs, he mocks them. But in spite of that, in spite of the fact that they have not succeeded, we're still forced to contend with them throughout this exile till today, says the Rambam. So we had two groups. One attacks us physically, the other attacks us philosophically. And then a new group came around that tries an even harder tactic. And they've made our lives even more bitter than the first two. We said there's the group that fights us by force, there's the group that fights us intellectually, and now there's a third group, says the Rambam. And they realized the way to annihilate this nation is from a different angle. It's a new trick. The new game is, let's come in and say we're a prophet in the name of Hashem. Ulchadesh dat mi baladei Torah Hashem. So he comes along and says, I'm here, I have a new Torah. It's just not your Torah, but I'm a prophet of your Hashem. Your God sent me. And so this third approach comes along and says publicly, my Torah is from your Hashem, he sent me too. And his real intent is he says what his goal was to instill doubt and to cause us to wonder, to look and say, hey, gee, maybe, to be in doubt. He's going to explain in a minute. One Torah actually is that antithetical to the other Torah. And he's saying, but they're both from the same God. In truth, the goal was that would be the opening to contradict our Torah. And this type of planning is what someone who is very evil would do. Because initially he says, let me take down my enemy so long as I stay around. And when he sees that he cannot take his enemy and stick around, so then a person says, an evil person says, let me kill him even if it kills me. We see that today. So the Rambam says this idea, let me fake a religion, let me say that God sent me too, I'm also a prophet, and then let me cause them to doubt because my main goal is to bring them down, even if it takes me down. That, says the Rambam, is the equivalent of someone who says, let me go attack my enemy, even if I die, so long as he dies. Utchilat mi shematza zodat haya Yeshua hanotzri. And the Rambam says clearly, the first one who took this path is Yeshu, we all know who Yeshu is, yeah?
Yeah, we know that.
Vehu mi Yisrael, and he was a Jew.
He was a Jew, for sure.
Vehu afal pi shaya aviv goy v'imo Yisraelit.
And even though his father wasn't Jewish, but his mother was.
And we have the principle that if a non-Jew or a servant is intimate with a Jewish girl, then the baby is kosher. But we do call him a mamzer, we call him a bastard, that's because we want to shame him, but not because he is really halachically a bastard, technically halachically. The Rambam says he's a kosher Jew.
Yeah, but he was also like executed, which is in this Gemara, Sanhedrin, because he proclaimed the wrong message. And he came as a false prophet, and we all know from Berak what to do with a false prophet.
He convinced people to think that Hashem sent him to clarify the areas of doubt in Torah. And he convinced people that he is the Messiah that the prophets promised was coming. And he interpreted the Torah in a way that would bring to the annulment of the whole Torah and all its mitzvos. His intention was to actually annul all the warnings of the Torah. And the sages understood his intent before he became famous in the nation. And they dealt with him the way they should have. He doesn't say what. And this idea that someone would come along and try to convince us that he's here to interpret the Torah, and in so doing he would actually try to annul the Torah, this idea was already forewarned by Daniel. Ish miparitzei amenu v'chofreim nafsid Torah b'itparo b'nevuah. Daniel forewarned that there would be a man from those who are paritzei, are those that break the boundaries in our nation, the rebellious ones, those that are apostates, will try to annul the Torah as they claim that they are in fact prophets. V'yichnis atzmo b'inyanim gedolim v'amar. And Daniel forewarned us that one of these people will claim greatness and say, Shehu HaMashiach, that he is the Messiah. We're on page Kufchav. V'shehashem yachshilo k'mo shechshilo. And the Navi Daniel forewarns us that Hashem will cause him to stumble, as in fact happened. V'hu amro, and that's what it says in Daniel, v'nei faritzei amecha, yinasu la'amit chazon v'nichshalu. There will be those among the nation who break all boundaries, and they will try to have prophecy. They will try to have a vision, even though they are the lowest of the society, and they will obviously stumble. So that's number one. In that paragraph, the Rambam addresses Yeshu. Next, says the Rambam, V'acharav, following this false Messiah, Lizman aroch amdan dat miyuchesed elav. A long time passed, and then a religion erupted, a religion that claims its roots are with him. Mu'mat bnei Esav, the prime following of that religion, were from the family of Esav.
Yeah, Esav, Rome. And the emperor of Rome, he basically formed the what we know as the Brit Chadashah, which is a corrupted book, if you know it very well.
V'lo aleta k'mochen b'machshavto. Yeshu used to say, I am here for the Jews. I was sent for the Jews. And yet what ended up happening was that which he did not intend, that his prime following was not Jews. Nations upon nations, nations from the Edomite, from the descendants of Esav, they were his prime following. V'lo yizik shum davar l'Yisrael. And even though his intention was to undermine our belief, but in fact, he didn't harm us, says the Rambam. And the truth is that the masses and the individuals, they didn't doubt their tradition. You see, it took centuries before the people calling themselves his disciples were able to propagate the religion, because initially, no one followed it, says the Rambam.
We have a small part which called themselves like Messianic Jews or something, who are very contradictionary. They actually they reject like the halakha in general lines, but they put on a talit and that kind of stuff. So they're like full with contradictions. It's
only. Lefi shitber lehem chesrono v'shenichat v'avad biyadenu at shnasa v'ma shenasa, because at his time, in the time of Yeshu, it was well known how lacking he was and the end he came to. So at that time, it was very clear, and he didn't have a following, says the Rambam. V'amad acharav mishuga. And following Yeshu, there stood up the insane one. Who is the insane one? We'll see in a second. He's the one that set up the Arabic religion, as we'll see in a second. We'll see, the Rambam calls him Ahmed. Okay, so the Rambam calls him the insane one. The fact that the Rambam calls him the Meshuga could be because he actually hallucinated often, really thought he was seeing and hearing voices, etc. That's what's recorded, that he did walk around saying he's hearing voices. And it could be because he forced conversions. He said, anyone who doesn't convert to his religion can get beheaded. And it could also be because he had epilepsy. It's recorded that he would suddenly flail around. He had epileptic seizures, and then he'd conk out. So people believed that his epileptic seizures were part of the prophetic vision. Here he is, flailing all around, losing all control, eyes rolling. But when he'd get back to, he built on that. So back to the Rambam says, after Yeshu, there stood up the insane one, v'nahag k'minagom, and he behaved just like Yeshu had. Klomar l'shanot tateinu, to try and change our religion, hoilu fatach bo apatach, being that one person had already attempted it, so now Ahmed was going to try it. והוסיף עם כל זה כוונה אחרת שרדף אחר המלכות וביקש שישתבדו לו והתחדש משהו מפורסם. And even though he went the path of Yeshu, nonetheless he chose a slightly different path because he wanted to be king of the world and he wanted people to be under him. You guys know what ISIS is saying. They're going to conquer the world. This is not so long after Turkey stated the same thing.
A lot of us in the battles of Medina and Qaeda.
I'm saying, but this is a part of the Muslim belief. Yeah, you know, Turkey was saying this not so long ago. Iran was saying this. And all these different religions, they're all trying to compare, to make their lies look like Hashem's religion. And when you look at God's handiwork and you look at a human's handiwork, they don't look similar. Only a child who doesn't understand one of them, only he could look at it and say they're similar. And there's no difference, he says, between our religion and these religions, other than the difference between a living human and a statue made of wood or metal, made of silver or gold or of stone. So you could make a figurine that looks lifelike, looks like a human. He's a fool who doesn't really understand what Hashem did when he created man. When he sees externally that this marble statue, this colored statue, this gold statue, whatever it's made out of, he looks at it externally and he says, looks like a human to me. When he doesn't realize what's inside a human being, the life inside a human being, the organs inside a human being, when you don't understand what a human being is really all about, so then yachshov, a person can think, shnasak mo shnasa adam, he'll say, gee, why can only God make man look? Here's a man that made man. Because he doesn't really understand what's going on inside both of them, the human and the statue. But someone who's intelligent and understands what's really going on inside both, he knows that inside the statue there's no real skill. And he also knows that inside man, the functioning that keeps us going, we don't even know how many hormones our body secretes on a daily basis. We don't know how many chemicals our body manufactures and how our liver works. You take one organ in the human body and the chemical functions, the metabolic functions, we don't have any appreciation for what's going on inside us. But if a person starts appreciating all the wisdom, says the Rambam, from that wisdom you could see the great genius of the Creator. If you don't appreciate that, then man and statue can be similar. If you start appreciating that, you realize there's a world of a difference. He says, when you look at the ability of man to sense, the ability of man to have motion, The Be'evrei Basavit Lakedam, you look at the limbs and the fact that they unite to form a human. Untiat Yitronotav, Umekom Dibukam, if a person understands the sinews of the human body, the cartilage, the joints, Ulfifat Kishurav, Ve'echut Yidulo, and the capacity for growth in each limb, Va'karav Vatevrav Ufrakav, and how the limbs, each limb joins into the next limb, Umotza'okav Amitnoaim, and if a person understands the veins, the arteries, the movement, how everything has that fluidity, if a person understands the parts of the body that cannot move, that Hashem made static, you know, if the brain moves within the skull, even a minute movement, so then a person can be harmed for a long time. But we have parts of our body that can move. We have parts of our body that have to stay static. The way the body is built with where things branch out, you have a heart that's pumping out blood to the whole body. And the way the body is formed, where everything lies one on top of the other, we don't think about it. When was the last time we thought about our shoulder blade and how it's sitting just on top of our chest and our arm can go into it? You know, a chiropractor once said that on a weekly basis he gets a patient, at least one, whose back is not aligned. His spinal cord is out of whack because people sit on their wallets. People keep their wallets in their back pocket. And then over time, the whole back shifts. So when do we ever think about that? That when we sit and when we walk, Hashem created a body that's perfectly built, one on top of the other. The human body was created, each thing in its right measurement, each thing in its right shape. Did we ever think about the shape of our eye? How many times do people cut their eyebrow or by their nose or by the side? You know, if our eye weren't deep in the socket, then people would be blinded so often. But Hashem created it that every time you fall, it's very hard for you to hit inside the eye. A baseball could come straight at a person's eye. He'll get a black and blue eye. But there's very little of the baseball that'll hit his eye.
Yeah, even when someone like gives a good punch in the eye stays intact.
It's like, usually, yes.
Yeah, because
it's very hard. Yes, it's very hard to wound the eye. Hashem created everything with matkutavnito, a specific shape, the shape of our chest, so that our chest cavity protects the vital organs. So many things about our body that are built exactly that way. And if they weren't built that way, we would suffer. Uvimkomo, and everything is set in its right place. Imagine you had eyeballs in your toes. You could walk, you could see, but your eyeballs were down there. We try to walk on our hands because it's so beneficial for us to have eyes up here. So as we walk, we can see what's going on. One little difference, you know, you'd still have the eyeballs. You'd still be able to see. Imagine your mouth was in the back of your head. So your eyes are in the front and the mouth is in the back. Okay, you try to take a spoon and feed yourself in the back. It would be a little difficult. We'd have to learn to act like those who are visually impaired. So Hashem created us where the front has all the sophisticated equipment and the back is less sensitive, less sophisticated. We could sit back. We're not worried. Try sitting forward the way you sit back. When you have a full stomach, it doesn't feel so good. Hashem created us with everything created intelligently. So if you look at the statue and you look at the human, you say they're similar. When you understand the brilliance of how a human is created, you say they're not. The same is true with the fool who doesn't understand the secrets of the holy works and the inner wisdom of the mitzvot. When he tries to compare our religion with the forgery, he'll say they're similar. You guys have Pesach, they have, okay. Ho'il ve'imtza b'dat Hashem isur ve'eter. He'll say, look, Judaism has things that are permitted and prohibited. Uvadat ha'mzuyevet ha'nifelet k'mo ken. And this other forgery, it also has things that are permitted and prohibited. You guys say, love your friend like yourself. So they say, turn the other cheek. We also talk about turning the other cheek. We talk about that being an improper state of the Jewish people. When they're being oppressed, so then they have no choice but yitain lemakehu lechi yisba v'cherpa. He has to turn the other cheek towards his oppressor and swallow in silence. It's not something we aspire to, but rather it's a description of our downtrodden state during the destruction of the first temple. He says, look, in Judaism there are ways of serving Hashem, so too other religions have way of serving Hashem. Hashem's religion has commandments and warnings and punishments and wages. The other religions also do. If he only understood what's really going on within the religion, what's the depth of wisdom, of balance, he would know that the godly true religion, the wisdom is not in the external vantage point. You look at Judaism and you say, I'm prohibited from eating on Yom Kippur. So here they have Ramadan. They have a prohibition 30 days. Aren't you the same? No, not at all. If you'd understand what we're doing and what they're doing, if you'd really understand what's going on here, you'd see the difference. There is nothing in Hashem's religion. There is no commandment. There is no warning that you'll find that does not have within it the depth that will bring a person to wholeness. Again, every single commandment in the Torah is there to bring us to balance, to wholeness, to a holistic life. And the commandments distance a person from the harm that would prevent him from that wholeness. So again, number one, says the Rambam, we're going to have to pick up here next time, but Rambam says number one, Torah leads a person to wholeness. It's not just a question of commandments. Don't eat. So they say don't eat for a month, and we say don't eat for a day. No. If you really understood the commandment of Yom Kippur, you'd understand why Yom Kippur is the best thing in your life. But you have to understand it. You're right. From an external vantage point, they seem similar. And the Rambam's going to continue. He's stated point one about the uniqueness of the Torah. We'll pick up here, Be'ezrat Hashem, next time.